Los Angeles will host the Summer Olympics for the third time in 100 years. The International Olympic Committee is expected to award the 2024 Games to Paris and the 2028 Summer Olympics to Los Angeles, which hosted the Games in 1932 and 1984. Dr. Andrew Zimbalist is chair of the Economics Department at Smith College, the Robert A. Woods Professor of Economics at the school, and the author of Circus Maximus, The Economic Gamble Behind Hosting the Olympics and the World Cup, and No Boston Olympics, How and Why Smart Cities Are Passing on the Torch. Dr. Zimbalist says even though Los Angeles wanted the 2024 Games, it will get the 2028 Games instead.
Paris last hosted the Summer Olympics in 1924. It was also the last time any city in France hosted the Summer Olympics. So this is the 2024 is the centenary of the last hosting in Paris. That gave Paris a big political and psychological advantage. It was also the case that Paris has been applying to host the Games several times in the last 15 years and came within a vote or two of getting it for 2012 when London hosted the Games. There's also a great deal of sympathy throughout the world, but particularly in Europe, for the terrorist incidents that Paris has suffered through in recent years. And there's also a great deal of skepticism, if not hostility, towards Donald Trump. So all of those things made it a non-question about whether Paris would win or L.A. would win in 2024. The deal for the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, is that they wanted to be sure that they had these two great candidates and they weren't going to lose either one of them, because the IOC has suffered in the recent past with not having enough candidates. Cities are dropping out right and left. Cities that had expressed an interest are saying, no, this is much too expensive for us. We don't want to do it. And so the IOC didn't want to go to a situation where they had another competition for 2028 and they found that nobody showed up for the competition. So they wanted to give it to both Paris and L.A., and the only way to do that was to say, you guys work it out, with the understanding, with a couple of winks in the back room, that Paris was 2024 and L.A. was 2028, and L.A. understood that. They've understood that for a while, but Mayor Garcetti and Casey Wasserman from the L.A. bid were intent upon getting some concessions to be able to say to the people of Los Angeles County in Southern California that even though we didn't win 2024, we've got a very rich deal for 2028. And so they did. They negotiated some very nice additional benefits. And I think that in general terms, Los Angeles is unique in the world as a city that basically has all of the venues and all of the infrastructure that it needs. So the amount of investment is diminutive. And hence the risk involved, the financial risk, is also de minimis. So I think they'll have basically a good experience. There's not going to be a tremendous economic benefit from hosting the Games, but it's quite likely that they'll run a surplus of several hundred million dollars. And there's the intention on the part of Mayor Garcetti and others to use that for the further development of youth sports in Southern California.
One article I read today said the 1984 Games in Los Angeles are still regarded as an economic and emotional success. Would you agree? And what's meant by an emotional success?
Okay. Yeah, I think that that's true. What happened in 1984 is interesting, and it was also unique. The previous three Summer Olympics had all, in their own ways, been somewhat of a disaster. In Mexico in 68, in Munich in 72, and Montreal in 1976. Each of those experiences basically sent out the message that this is not a good thing. It's much too complicated, problematic politically and difficult economically to host the Olympics. So when it came time to host the 1984 Games, or to have the competition to host, the IOC was making a decision in 1978 about who was going to host in 1984. There was only one applicant, and that was Los Angeles. So Los Angeles was in a very special position with leverage vis-a-vis the IOC. They could actually go to the IOC and say, this is what we'll require if you want us to host the Games, rather than the traditional dynamic, which was that the IOC would have three or four or five candidates and have them bid against each other and tell the cities, this is what we, the IOC, want you to do. So that was kind of flipped. The tables were turned, and the IOC was negotiating with Los Angeles, and Los Angeles had certain demands. One demand was that they refused to financially backstop the games. The IOC has always before and always after told the host city that they have to financially backstop the games, which is to say if there's a cost overrun or many cost overruns or there's a revenue shortfall and you run a deficit, no matter what the size of the deficit, then you, the host city, or together with your local and state government, you have to guarantee that you're going to cover that deficit. Los Angeles said, we won't do that, and the IOC had no choice. They said, okay, you don't have to cover any cost overruns, any deficits. Los Angeles also said to the IOC, we'll do this, but you have to let us use the UCLA dormitories and the USC dormitories as the Olympic Village. We don't want to build an Olympic Village. The IOC said, okay. And then Los Angeles said, we want to be able to use our venues from the 1932 Olympics when they had last hosted the games. We want to be able to use the Los Angeles Coliseum and other venues. And again, the IOC said, okay. So with those preconditions and also the fact that even back then, back in 84, Los Angeles had most of the venues it needed because Los Angeles, after all, is the second largest city in the United States, had all of the professional sports teams that you can have in each of the leagues. They also had big-time college sports teams. So that meant that there were plenty of athletic venues around, stadiums and arenas. So they didn't have to build very much. So you put all of those factors together, and it turned out that in 1984, Los Angeles actually ran a surplus of about $220 million. The people of Los Angeles were very proud about that. There weren't any terrorist incidents. The weather was good. Nothing broke down. And the government made a commitment with that $220 million surplus to support youth sports. So people came away from the experience of 1984 in Los Angeles and saying, gee, this was fun. And it actually turned out to be a party that we made some money off of. And hence, there was an emotional uplift, or at least a sense of accomplishment and satisfaction from those games. To put those two things together, the economic surplus or the financial surplus with a positive feel-good effect, and that kind of stands out in Olympic history going back 60 or even 80 years as unique. And so what happened after the 1984 games in Los Angeles was that other cities looked at what Los Angeles had done and said, oh, wait a minute, it doesn't have to be like it was in Mexico City or Munich or Montreal. It could be a positive experience. And so the 84 games turned around the perception of what it could mean to be an Olympic host. And you got a flood of applicants all of a sudden. And that flood of applicants continued until about the year 2000, and then it started to fall off.
Dr. Andrew Zimbalist is the chair of the Economics Department at Smith College, the Robert A. Woods Professor of Economics at the school, and the author of Circus Maximus, The Economic Gamble Behind Hosting the Olympics and the World Cup, and No Boston Olympics, How and Why Smart Cities Are Passing on the Torch. His new book on the Rio Olympics will be published next month.